This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. I want to thank each and every listener for making the Pro Football Scouting Podcast yet again the number one ranked sports podcast in all of America on iTunes yet again. You guys are much appreciated. Hope you enjoy today's show.
Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Today is Wednesday, October 17th, and I'm damn excited to be with you. I'm bringing to you some good questions from the listeners today. Just remember, today's Wednesday, Wednesday being question and answer day. It can go directly to stevethescout81@gmail.com, or you can sign up on Anchor, which is the platform on where I and from where I distribute my show. And on Anchor, you can subscribe and also send me a voice message on there. And with the voice message, I can get you on the show. Also, did want to let you know, all shows now are going to be shorter. So the longest show you will ever hear is 30 minutes. I believe in giving really good content and being upfront with it and giving you football meat and potato style. On Sunday, it was my longest episode ever. And I listened to it and I was like, you know, some good stuff, but It's too long. So yeah, keeping it under 30 minutes. And also Sunday's format for the post-game show is changing a little bit. On Sunday, what I'm going to be doing is not giving you my post-game analysis of every game, but giving you who the MVPs are of each game, and specifically the Steve the Scout MVP award, which is what I'll give out. It's going to be a little bit different than the MVPs I've done in the past. It's never going to be for a group of players. It is always going to be for one player. Sometimes it may be, and a lot of times it's going to be a guy that does the dirty work. Your defensive tackle, your offensive guards, those kind of players. Because guess what? They make a lot bigger difference than what the average fan realizes. So going to be doing that. Also, I am trying to stay commercial free. It is not an obligation, and I appreciate you either way because this is the number one show. Thanks to you guys tuning in. But in an effort to stay commercial free, I am actually now accepting donations for the show. Now, if you do donate, the money is invested back into the show to make it better. So you are a part of building something with me, and I appreciate that. But if you go on Anchor, there's an option to support the podcast, and you could pay 99 cents a month, $4.99 or $5, something like that, and $9.99, $10. Yeah, I don't know why it is, but I always hated the 99 cent thing. It's so stupid. It's like, let's just use a lower number just to make it seem like you're getting a better deal. I'm sorry, that's just a side note. But in truth be told, I would very much appreciate it. Definitely want to keep this ad free, and that would be right now, you know, the way to help me do that, and also invest to make the show better. So I appreciate y'all. Let me talk about the listeners that I have on today's show. So we got some good questions to answer. As you may have seen on the title, I'm actually going to be letting you know who I think is the best quarterback right now that could potentially be in next year's NFL draft. But we got questions from Agent Banana returning back to the show, and I hopefully I say this somewhat correctly, aka Andrew Stathollis. Hollis, I think I was close, Andrew. All right, good job, Steve the Scout. Next person, Jason White. Jason, I can really pronounce that. Great job. Jason's asking me about Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State, their quarterback. You got Robert Fitzgerald coming back with a few questions I'm answering of his. And then we also got debuting on the show, Sonny Tyrell, talking about who's the best middle linebacker in football. And also Scott Kroger wants to know, what the hell is wrong with the officiating now? So, with that being said, Thank you for letting me make my announcements. That is the most fluff you'll get on the show. Now let's get on with it. So, Andrew Stadtholis, I'm glad I had a second chance to not screw up your name. To me, it sounded good that time. Or Agent Banana, whatever you prefer. So you ask about Calvin Ridley. Look, do I think Calvin, you wanted to know really, is he going to be good going forward, or is this just, you know, temporary success that we're seeing? Calvin Ridley is going to continue to dominate. Here's why. He makes use of the entire field. The last person I saw make use of the entire field, this one in his rookie year, was OBJ. He's doing pretty well. He also has OBJ type speed. I mean, he's, you know, they both run 4.43 40s, but they both have 4.3 speed. And trust me, 4.43 is a ridiculously fast 40. But what he has, like OBJ, is play speed. He has the ability, like OBJ, to run all over the field. He has the ability, like OBJ, to pluck the ball out of the air. And, you know, what Calvin Ridley does really well, maybe his best attribute, is setting up defensive backs to lose. He gets you thinking he's going one way, and then he goes another. And then he'll use some head fakes and some chain, and he'll change up how he does it. And he keeps you off guard. And his release when he's in man coverage, it is off the chart. Off the chart. When you look at him also yards after the catch. It's outstanding. And after the catch, what he does well is he's also shifty. And then also after the catch, he takes good angles when he's taking off with the ball. That's why his yak is so good. Strong hands, like I said, can pluck the ball out of the air. His speed is good on crossing routes over the middle and the deep part of the field. You know, at Alabama, he ran every route in the route tree. But to me, you know, you compare him to Amari Cooper. What's separating him is that two things. I think number one, he's the better athlete. 40 speed might be the same. Amari Cooper is a great athlete, but I think Calvin Ridley is an overall better athlete. And what Calvin Ridley does better than Amari Cooper is how he uses his feet on the beginning of routes. I think yes, being in that great offensive system in Atlanta, that certainly helps a lot. Steve Sarkisian's a good offensive coordinator. Matt Ryan's, you know, a quality quarterback. This is going to be, you know, his second or third time in the MVP conversation. So, and I don't know if he's definitely in it because, I mean, the Falcons, their record isn't very good because of their defense. But stats-wise, you know, he's in that conversation. So yeah, I think it's going to continue. I like what I see from Calvin Ridley. Reason why he probably didn't get drafted as high. And I'll be honest, I think it messed me up a little bit and maybe a little bit of a learning point to me. I really got to take into deeper consideration. And I was very high on Calvin Ridley. I just thought, you know, obviously if he did this well, I might have ranked him higher. But I think what we sometimes have to realize is that these receivers, they don't always have a good quarterback throwing to them. You know, you look at comparing him again, sorry to keep doing it with Amari Cooper, but, you know, he had a much better quarterback at Alabama than what Ridley had. So, Andrew, Agent Banana, pleasure to answer your question. Email, voice message me anytime. Questions or feedback. We'll keep it moving to Jason White. Jason is an Ohio State fan, and he said, "Hey, Steve, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins is a sophomore quarterback, redshirted last year as a freshman. So, and what you said is that so far he looks good in every aspect. He has arm strength is phenomenal, you said, and that he has pinpoint accuracy. You wanted to know if I feel the same or if you're being biased. And also, do you think he should go this year in the draft or go next year and play another season at the," and you capitalize "the, Ohio State University?" Good stuff, man. So let me tell you what I've watched so far on quarterbacks. Now, I haven't actually, to be honest, I don't do, by this point of the season, I have not done all that much draft homework on next year. I know some people do, but I also strive to bring you really good information that's going to be unique during the season. And with that being said, I sometimes don't focus on the NFL draft really until the season is over. So with that being said, the quarterbacks that I have looked at extensively, and when I say look at extensively, for me, what makes me feel comfortable is 4 to 5 games. If I get four, I mean, I really know after 2 games for the most part, but 4 to 5 games, you know, to be more on the safe side is what they tell us at the scouting academy to watch, and you know, kind of what is my comfort level. But when I look at the quarterbacks I've watched so far, Justin Herbert, Oregon, he's expected to go in the top 5. Some people are saying if the Giants go number 1 overall, they'll draft them number 1 overall. People are also talking about Drew Locke, the quarterback from Missouri. Someone who, in many mock drafts, you know, you'll see him going in the top 15 to 20, sometimes even the top 10. And then you have Will Grier. So I've looked at Will Grier not as much as I've looked at Justin Herbert and Drew Locke. On both of those guys, I have pretty definitive grades for him. I'm going to watch more of their tape this year. Dwayne Haskins, I watched 3 games in him. I watched the game against Michigan, the game against Tulane, and the game against Oregon State. So, but that being said, he's a sophomore, and of the quarterbacks that I mentioned, I believe at this point, from the evidence I have on tape, he's better than any of them. He is. So I'm saying it right now, at this given point in time, based on what I've seen so far, and it can change, Dwayne Haskins is the best quarterback I've seen that could be entering next year's draft. Let me tell you why. Let me just tell you what he does better than those quarterbacks. Those quarterbacks that I just mentioned, they all have issues going through their progressions. That's why I don't think any of them are surefire things. Dwayne Haskins going through his progressions is better than them. What you see Drew Locke do is he'll rush through things and he'll predetermine routes. He will. You look at Justin Herbert. Yeah, he's an accurate quarterback, but watch him go through his progressions. You know, it fades. It's not a massive drop off, but it's a drop off that I notice. When I look at Dwayne Haskins going through his progressions, and a lot of times he has the first read open. I get it. But when he has to go through his progressions, and I've seen him do it a few times on the tape that I'm talking about, he's excellent at it. Excellent. One play, red zone play against Tulane. Look, they don't have, Tulane's not NFL quality DBs, but you know he's not working with top NFL receivers either. So regardless, on the play, the receivers weren't separated. There were four receiver set. All of them were covered, and you know, he anticipated so well when this one receiver was going to get open. It was just great. And they are all, you know, stuck on like glue at that point. So just, and I saw him do that a few times where he really just went through his progressions well. He has more than enough arm strength. What I love about him most is his pocket awareness. His pocket awareness and his accuracy. He doesn't bail out of the pocket until the very last second. And he does it safely, and he still typically gets a positive gain. From what I've seen so far, I'd love to see him on the Giants next year, because at this point, he's better, in my opinion, he's more clean of a prospect than what I saw from these guys. That's why I said Baker was my number one prospect, because he was the cleanest guy to me. He was, when you put together accuracy, throwing on the run, sensing pressure, and just having the mind for it, you know, to me, he was my number one guy. So far, he's been the best of those bunch. Sam Darnold's had some good games, but I think, you know, if you really watch the tape, it's hard to say that Baker Mayfield's not the most accurate of those quarterbacks, and I think he's going to, you know, it looks like he's going to be very good. So what I also like about him is, you know, he has a very quick release, and he's very decisive when he needs to be. He just gets the ball out of his hand quickly. It's not just a lot of arm strength, but it's a lot of velocity, and it's a lot of velocity on really all levels of the field. When you look at him make a deep throw over the middle, it gets there, or it's not a deep throw, but you know, medium to deep throw over the middle, it gets there very quickly. At this point, you know, I take him over any of those quarterbacks. He just his feet work is impeccable. Best feet work of any of those guys, you know, I think. Not to discredit their feet work, but and it's just amazing. He's only a sophomore right now. He's the most accurate of those guys. You know, again, it gives you all the arm strength, pocket first passer, all these good things. So I think he looks really good so far. I mean, at this point, it's a top 10 quarterback. So I'll say in terms of whether, you're asking me, Jason, should he play another year? It's hard to say. He has to see what his draft stock is like at that time. I'm sure he has people that'll be advising him on that. And it also really depends on, you know, which I haven't looked at yet, what the class of 2020 is like for quarterbacks. So given those things, we'll see what happens. You know, it also helps with experience. I think he's only going to get better, as a player. I'm not sure how – I know he looks good, but I don't know how crazy I am of quarterbacks going into the NFL after a sophomore year. I usually like to see juniors, when they come into the league. But, again, it's different for everyone. All right, good question. I appreciate you, Jason White. Tune in to every episode. Ask more questions. Give feedback. Remember, guys, it's stevethescout81@gmail.com, or you can voice message me on the Anchor app. Robert Fitzgerald, you wanted to know about the Bucs running backs. You wanted to know about Peyton Barber, and you wanted to know about Ronald Jones. And kind of what I thought of each of them and really what their outlook would be. And you had some other questions. Peyton Barber, Peyton Barber, the Buccaneers running back, undrafted running back in his third year. Last week, he ran hard with good vision. He was a threat out of the backfield. But he's had struggles in camp. He's had struggles in the past. And you got to see consistent play from him. You just don't know what you're going to get until you see him play more consistently. And some guys, it takes some time to develop. I'm seeing a big trend of players that are considered NFL busts, but in their fourth and fifth year, they turn into good players. It doesn't happen for everyone. I wished it happened for Eric Flowers of the Giants. But look, at the end of the day, right now, the Bucs, their running back situation is still a little bit iffy. I know I said Ronald Jones would be a great player. And here's the thing. Ronald Jones, I think, is going to be a very good player. But my only concern with him is that he did not play against the best competition while he was there. But if you want to talk about ability, I thought ability-wise, he was up there in the conversation for second or third for best just raw ability of any quarterback. What I noticed is that he had a lot of games where he went against bad open field tackling, and he didn't have to be as decisive with reading his vision. And there's an adjustment for that in the NFL. Just mentally, you just it's hard to catch up with that. He didn't do a whole lot of blocking there, so he has some things to learn. But don't sleep on him. He's got some amazing ability. I think at some point we'll see him come into his own. Might not be a guy that gets that's good until his third year. I mean, Melvin Gordon wasn't dynamic right away. So look, it happens. You also wanted to know about Amari Cooper, kind of what I see for him. There's a rumor right now that Amari Cooper, that the Raiders are seeking a first round draft pick for him. Cooper, he's great footwork, great route running. He can't run every single route in the route tree. As well as you'd like to see it. Certainly not as much as Calvin Ridley does. Great feet work, but I'd like to see him use his feet a little more aggressively and a little, at the line of scrimmage. Not at the line of scrimmage, but excuse me, just really at the starting point, of his route, excuse me. So you look at him in press coverage. He's great in press coverage. You play him against, a cover one or cover two man. Great. When you look at him in the slot, he has great short area quickness. He has the ability to get in and out of his cuts quickly. He can run a lot of different routes. He's a little limited on running the go route. What he demonstrates is really, good knowledge on how to attack a corner. But, I just don't think, again, he does it as well as Calvin Ridley, who's a rookie, which I think, that's just some of the differences between them. Right now, there are improvements that he has to make if he's going to reach his best. He has great speed, but again, some of those routes he struggles to separate on. And again, he doesn't really pluck the ball out of midair, and he has a lot of drop passes. But he is still young. He is still developing. He will probably continue to get better. So regardless of the down games he's had, the Raiders also have a really crappy offensive line, by the way, which doesn't help when you're going against the Chargers and the Broncos and the Los Angeles Rams. So, and I know you asked a question on Devontae Parker. That one I'll get to next week. I got to move on now to Sonny Tyrell. But Robert, I appreciate you, man. Always asking questions, and they're good ones too. Very much appreciated, my friend. Sonny Tyrell, you wanted to know which middle linebacker would I take. Would I take Luke Kuechly or Bobby Wagner? I would take Luke Kuechly. And the reason why I would take Luke Kuechly is that he's a little bit better pre-play to me. Bobby Wagner is better pre-play. I'm sorry. Bobby Wagner is very good pre-play, but Luke Kuechly is better. Where I think Bobby Wagner is better at is if you want to look at strictly what their sideline to sideline range is, I think Bobby Wagner's got faster game speed. I like Bobby Wagner a little bit better in coverage. As good as Luke Kuechly is in coverage, I think Bobby Wagner is a little bit better. You can't go wrong with either of those guys. What separates Luke Kuechly from all these other great linebackers, and to be honest, that's an unfair comment because Bobby Wagner does this, C.J. Mosley does it. You're seeing great play from even Blake Martinez. Wow, he's really coming on strong as a good linebacker in this league. A lot of these middle linebackers, they're their quarterback of their defense. They are smart and instinctive, but Luke Kuechly in that area is still number one. He knows what the team is going to do before the play happens more frequently than any other middle linebacker in the game. Pre-play, he's just elite. He's Peyton Manning as a middle linebacker. He's a guy that could potentially one day be a very good defensive coordinator. He has all the tools that I talked about. He has a sideline to sideline range. He has the tackling ability, and he sees everything on the field very well. So that definitely separates him as well. But what makes the biggest difference to me is a player that makes the other players on his team better. He does that with that defense as well as any defensive player in the game. For that reason, I got to take Luke Kuechly over him by a little bit. So, Sonny, I appreciate that. And now I'm going to get to Scott Kroger's question. And, Scott, you wanted to know what is wrong with the officiating. You actually said to me, in my opinion, the officiating blows. And you're right, Scott Kroger. The NFL officiating, for a large part, does blow right now. Sorry, I had to say that. But it's you can't. I would blame the NFL more than I'd blame the officials. Here's why. You pay these players $10 million a year. $20 million a year. Pay the referees a full-time effing salary. For God's sake, I mean they're deciding the outcomes of this game. I don't understand how they get paid as little money as they do. These guys should not have to work second jobs. That's ridiculous. It is for me, in my opinion, making the product of the NFL not as good as it could be. Too many games are decided by outcomes, and when you have so many rule changes and things that are changing all the time, you really want to make these guys full-time. So with that being said, I agree with you. And Scott Kroger, you are also appreciated, my man. And guess what, guys? That wraps up everything for today. Remember, just going to recap on what I said in the beginning. Every Wednesday is question and answer day. You can join on Anchor. Send me a voice message on there, and I'll actually get you on the show. You can send me a message to stevethescout81@gmail.com. And every Sunday night is going to be MVPs of the game and breaking them down. And again, you know, trying to stay commercial free. If you guys would like to donate to invest in the show, you can do so on the Anchor app and click on support this podcast. In any event, I appreciate you no matter what. This is the number one ranked sports podcast in all the last week. And I don't get there without you guys tuning in. So with that being said, this is Steve the Scout, the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. I'm out.